Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Today. Amen. Amen. All right. Glad to see everybody that's here. We're going to conclude this series called I Give Up. And how many people are ready for the new year? 2016 is on the way. You guys ready for it? Can we give God praise that we're alive to see it? Amen. And we want to give God praise because we know that if you're here, if you're still alive, that means there's more for you to do. There's more in store for you. And I love the fact that God is a God of increase. Everybody say increase. The Bible says that of his kingdom, the increase of his kingdom, there is no end. If you are a part of the kingdom, that means there's nothing but increase coming your way. You should never anticipate decrease in your future. And if there is a decrease, if there is a reduction, then that means God is getting ready to reduce some things so that he can add more. All right? So there's moments in the seasons when you lose some things only to gain more the next season. That's called sowing. You sow in one season to reap more in the next. You lose something now so you can get more later. Amen? And so that means that the Bible says it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. Through faith and what? Patience, we inherit the kingdom. So if you're going to reap some things, you don't not only need faith, you need patience. Look at your neighbor next to you saying, get patience. All right? I want you to ask another question. Look at somebody else next to you. Look at somebody else next to you and ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up in Jesus? Now I want you to pause and think about that. What do you want to be when you grow up in Jesus? And tell that person what it is that you want to be. What do you want to be when you grow up in Jesus? What do you want to be when you grow up in the kingdom? The reason why we're asking that is because I realize not many people have goals about who they want to be in Christ. They got goals about what they want to be in the world. They got goals about what they want to do with their family next year. But what goals do you have in Christ? And what we're going to learn today is everything God is doing is not about you, it's about Christ in you. It's about bringing you more into Jesus than you've ever been before. God wants to take us deeper. We've been at a place where many of us have been in a place where we are kind of comfortable where we are in God. For some of you, this is the closest you've been to Jesus since you got saved. For some of you, you've come from ministries where you didn't have this depth of, or this freedom, I should say, in Christ, where some of you have told me, you've opened up the Bible, and now you're reading the Bible, and for the first time, you're getting revelation for yourself. You know, and I love that, because that means you're developing intimacy with Christ. But as I was preparing this week, I just felt like the Lord was saying that, he reminded me of that verse in the Psalm where it says, deep cries out unto deep. And I was hearing that all the last 2 days, that God was saying that he's getting ready to break, as Ryan mentioned. You know, Ryan always taps in. What did Ryan say God was breaking up in you? What did he say was breaking inside of us? From the verse he read. You guys missed it. What is that? What's that? What did he say was flowing inside of us? A river, all right? He said there's a river flowing inside of us. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But I love that word. He said, out of your belly, right? That's the deepest part of you. That inside of you, there's something deeper that you have not learned how to tap into. And God says, when you actually learn how to tune into that river, you tune into what's called the river of life. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, which is flowing inside of us. But we got to learn how to get past the surface and get into the deeper places. We got to learn how to get past the shallow places in our lives and start going into the deeper places. If you're afraid of swimming, then you stay on the shallow end. But if you can swim, you like to go on the deep end, right? You have some shallow swimmers who always want to keep you in the shallow, but you can swim. So you want to go deeper, but they're like, no, stay here with me, because they're too afraid to go in the deep end. All right? I realize that that's like worship. You may have some shallow worshipers that the end, they like to stay in the shallow end because they're so afraid of going deeper because they don't know what's going to happen in that place. So they want you to encourage you to stay here, stay in this place where it's comfortable, where it's safe, where there's no risk involved, no faith involved. I know nothing will happen to me if I stay in the shallow end, but if I go out there, I might drown. I got news to you. God wants to put you in the deep end because he wants you to drown. He wants self to die so that Christ, you can experience the resurrection power of Christ in you. And that only comes when you're willing to step out of the shallow end of the pool. Look at somebody next to you. Say, get out the shallow end. It's time to go deeper. Come on, anybody want to go deeper in Christ today? All right, so stop holding on to the edge of the pool. God wants to push you deeper. God wants to push you in. Come on. Some of you, if you don't go, God's going to push you into that river. Some of you got some circumstances right now that's pushing you, and you're still trying to hold on. But it's a good thing to get pushed by God. You find out you can start walking on the water, and you don't know it. Some of you don't know. You're going to go farther. You're going to go deeper than you've ever known before. But it starts with your surrender. God is going to heal some of you. Some of you have some conditions. I see somebody over here has fibroids. God is healing you of it today. If that's you, just put your hand on your stomach somewhere. There's somebody in this room, you're on this side of the room, you have fibroid-related issues. God says, I'm going to heal you. Just put your hand on your stomach, your loins. Right now, just rebuke it. I rebuke it now in Jesus' name. I rebuke fibroids. I command it growth to shrink, to dissipate. As a matter of fact, disappear as if you were never there before. Command you to go in the amazing name of Jesus. In the amazing name of Jesus. Receive it. I feel like a river on my feet, on my knees. Real fast, this is just a conclusion. So somebody will think, well, JR didn't teach. In conclusion of our message, of our series, I Give Up, we talked about how we were dead. But it's not enough to just know that you died. You got to know that because we're dead to sin, we're now alive to God. The fact that we're dead to ourselves, we're now alive to God. Romans 6 tells us that, right? It says that we've been dead, we've been crucified, we've been dead to sin, we're alive to God. Go to the next slide. Next. Galatians 2:20 tells us, let's read it together, say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. You see, many of us want to live by the faith, or live by faith in the Son of God, before we focus on the first part of it. If you don't know you've been crucified with Christ, you can't live by faith. We reduce faith to something that we do. But before it is something you do, it is something that you first must believe. And my doing of the works, because of the society we live in today, is something that we're focused on what we do. But God is always more focused on who you are before he's focused on what you do. God wants you to focus on who you are before you focus on what you try to do for him. So I have been crucified with Christ. Look at somebody next to you and say, you have been crucified with Christ. All right. Now that was not your decision. That had nothing to do with you. You didn't ask to be crucified with Christ. God put you in Jesus 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, if I be lifted up on the cross, if I be lifted up, Eli, I will draw all men unto me. So when he went to the cross, he did not go by himself. When he was lifted up, everyone came to him. At one moment, God judged one man on behalf of everyone. So, you've been crucified with Christ. When Christ went to the cross, you were in him. Before you were even born, you were in him. That's not a hard thing to understand. When you think about it, how many of you decided to be born when you were born? How many of you decided whose womb you're going to go in? You had no choice, did you? It's not anything new. God has been doing this. You came here without your permission. You think you have got control over your life? So, the same way you were born without your permission, you are born again in Christ, and you had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to add to it. You had nothing to contribute to it. You died when Christ died. Now, what God is waiting for you to do is believe what happened 2,000 years ago for you. He's waiting for you to believe what happened 2,000 years ago on your behalf. So that's who I am. I've been crucified. So if you died, who's alive? So if I've been crucified, it's no longer I who lives. So then we talked about I, the ego, the self. Everything you thought you were apart from Jesus, the Bible says, I died, but now Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, because I know that I'm crucified in Christ, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Don't you love that? Jesus gave up himself so you can give up yourself for him. He's not asking you to do something he didn't do. When he tells you, say, hey, I'm giving up my righteousness for your sinfulness. So he says, now give me your sinfulness and take my righteousness. He said, Isaiah 61 talks about how he gives us beauty for ashes. I give you joy for mourning. It's an uneven exchange. It's nothing you give to him that's worth anything, but yet he takes it because he's more concerned about giving you his identity. He took up yours so that you can take up his. And he loved you, church. So, you already died, and the New Testament treats you like you're already dead. The Bible has nothing to say about self. When you talk about self, you deal with self, it says treat the self like it's dead. Sin is a part of the old nature, right? So he tells us to die. Tells us to die to that old way of thinking. I no longer live. Christ in you now lives. And so God actually redefines, or the New Testament redefines what I is. When the Bible says you, it talks about me and you in the New Testament. He's not just talking about you. He's talking about Christ in you, who you are in Christ. That means the Spirit of Christ lives inside of you. If you don't believe that, in Christianity, we've just become religion. You will have no power. You'll have no freedom. You'll have no victory. You just have self. And it's the worst kind of self, because now you start trying to live godly in your own power, and then you get more miserable and feel more condemned than sinners. Because sinners are just sinning freely, but you're still going to be struggling to not sinning, falling short, and then feel condemned because you feel I'm supposed to be living like Jesus. But I got news for you. You're not supposed to try to live like Jesus. You're supposed to allow Jesus to live through you. He's giving you his Spirit so that you can he can live and flow out of you like a river. All right? It's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Romans 8, verse 2. You see, it's just like a baby. You know, a baby doesn't tell himself when he's going to grow. A baby doesn't tell himself when he's going to grow teeth. When his hair is going to get long, or when her hair is going to get long, right? Nobody tells yourself when it's time for you to grow. Jesus said you cannot add one hair to your head, right? We can't control that, but yet it happens. Why? Because it's the law of life. It's the law of life. We trust that when a baby is born, that it will grow up. All it needs to be fed. All it needs is to be loved. All it needs is a safe environment, right? And that baby grows. That's who you are in Christ. You've been born again, but you don't force yourself when you're going to grow. You just simply give in to the growth. You give in. If you abide in him, you focus on who he is, you'll begin to develop, right? Let's look at the next slide. So here it is. We have a category between who you are in self and who you are in Christ. I'm just going to go through this, breeze through this. Which identity is your reality? From this point on, you have a choice. If you're going to continue to live focused on who you are apart from Jesus, which is self, or you can begin to focus on who you are in Christ. Now, if you focus on self, you remain living under the Adamic nature or the cursed nature. Adam fell, Adam sinned, and all that's in that left-hand side, who you think you are apart from Jesus, that's your old nature, that's self, that's the old man, the old creation, where you are a slave to Satan, alive to sin, and dead to God. All right. On the flip side, when you begin to focus on who you are in Christ, which is a reality now that you can identify with, now you become a new creation. Instead of being a slave to Satan, you become free to God. Instead of being alive to sin and dead to God, you become dead to sin and alive to God. Amen. Say, I'm alive to God. In self, I live, but in Christ, Christ lives. In self, I have a sin consciousness. I'm always aware about sin and my sin and other people's sin. But in Christ, I have a righteousness consciousness. I'm aware of how righteous I am and how righteous God wants to make other people. In self, I'm self-conscious. In Christ, I'm Christ-conscious. How do you want to be more Christ-conscious? More aware of him. Christ is in all things. In self, I depend on my own strength and my own effort. But in Christ, I can depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not by my strength. It's by the Holy Spirit working in me. It's called grace. Everybody say grace. In self, I'm unacceptable. I'm unaccepted by God. But in Christ, I am accepted. In self, I'm guilty of sin. In Christ, I'm innocent. And people want to be innocent for God. Absolutely, right? In self, you're sick, you're prone to sickness, and you have no antidote from it but the mercy of some doctors. But in Christ, you are healed. You are whole. You are healthy. Christ doesn't get sick, neither do you. In self, you are incomplete. In Christ, you're complete. In self, you're afraid of dying. But in Christ, you already died. You already died. You know, Revelation also talks about how we overcome the devil by what? The word of our testimony. No, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving our lives even unto death. Amen. We just skip out that last part. There's three parts to that. We overcome by the blood, we come overcome by the testimony, and we overcome by not loving our lives. Giving up our lives, dying to all this stuff over here. See, this is self-centered Christianity people live. It's an oxymoron to be self-centered as a Christian, because the focal point is Christ. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's about Him. Amen. So the next slide tells us, how do we begin to actually transition into this new life? How do we transition into this new life? Move from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. So where you are in your life, your struggles, which is many of us identify with being impatient, I might be broke, I'm going through financial hardships, I'm angry, I'm sick, I get sick all the time, I'm sinful, I just can't get free from this stuff, depressed, fearful, frustration, it's not an extensive list at all. But now, if you transition from focusing on yourself and begin to focus on who you are in Christ, you're complete. So instead of seeing how impatient you are, I begin to realize I'm already patient. Why? Because it's not the I, it's the Christ in I, the Christ in me, who is already patient, who's already wealthy, who's already a nice person, already healthy, already righteous, already happy, already bold, and already has peace. All right? So, next slide. So now what the Bible actually tells us to do is to put off the old man and put on the new. What that means is, for example, you are not impatient trying to become patient. You are patient putting off impatience. You are not sick trying to get well. You are well and you're putting off sickness. All right, you identify with who you already are in Christ. You identify with who you already are in Jesus. That's your starting point. So when I say I'm not sinful trying to get righteous, no, I'm already righteous and I'm putting off sinfulness. All right, I'm not angry trying to become polite. I'm polite. And I'm putting off anger. Because you won't have power. You can only become what you already are. The minute you say, I'm not something, and I got to become something, means that you believe. Or the minute you say, I'm becoming something, means that I don't believe I already am something. Come on. So you're not your issues, you're not your struggles, you no longer identify with your sinfulness. Your starting point is who you are in Christ, and you see yourself as already complete in Him. Amen? See, this requires an intentionality, doesn't it? You don't transform by process of osmosis. You don't just get around some Christians and think you're going to change. Everybody loves the idea of change, but no one wants to practice it. It requires a new mindset. The Bible says, set your mind on these things which are above. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ. Yeah? It says that, right? Don't be conformed to this world or the self, but be transformed how? The renewing of what? Your mind. So when I identify with who Christ says I am, and I'm selecting the thoughts I want to think. I'm selecting the thoughts I'm going to choose to agree with. Listen, I've been a part of many revivals, and I've seen people healed today, sick 2 weeks later. Why? Because their mind wasn't changed. I can pray for you. I can give it, lay hands on some of you, give you an impartation. Oh, glory to God. You feel excited, hit the floor. And then a month later, you're back to where you were. Why? Because what I'm teaching you is how you stay delivered, how you stay free, how you stay whole. And it starts with becoming a thinker, becoming someone who's going to be intentional about allowing the mind of Christ to be solidified in them. Amen. Because you're going to be conformed or you're going to be transformed. And if you're not transforming, you're conforming back to this world. So you've got to be intentional about where you want to go in Christ. So I ask you, who do you want to be in Jesus when you grow up? Amen. Who do you want to be? Do you want to be powerful and free? Or do you want to be a slave to sin and a slave to yourself? Right? And the way that you change is by changing your thinking, changing your mindset. It's called repentance. Letting go of the old way of thinking and putting on the new. Right? So as we wrap up, I'm identifying with who I am in Christ. Say, I'm not impatient. I am patient. And I'm putting off impatience. Come on, what else do you struggle with? Somebody say it. Anger. Say, I'm not angry. I'm not an angry person. I'm a polite person. And I'm putting off my anger. Don't you feel a victory when you say that? You put yourself back in control here. Right? Because that's who you are in Christ. Far above all principalities, all powers, they're all subject to you. Don't say, I don't have money problems. I'm wealthy, I'm rich, and I'm putting off my money problems. Okay? I'm not a failure. I'm successful. And I'm putting off failure. All right. Last slide. So here's three things you want to know about your identity. Number one, your identity in Christ is how heaven sees you. Your identity in Christ is how heaven sees you. Heaven doesn't see you broke. Heaven doesn't see you depressed. Heaven doesn't see you sick. Heaven sees you healed. It sees you blessed. It sees you accepted, all right? Heaven sees you loved at all times. Heaven, all of heaven is seeing you the way it sees Jesus. Now, the question is, do you see yourself the way heaven sees you? This is how you live under an open heaven. You live under an open heaven when you have heavenly perspectives. Heavenly perspectives. I'm living from heaven's reality, heaven's point of view of me. All right? So heaven is treating you as such. All your, like, see, listen, every circumstance you're in right now in Christ is also in Christ. Every problem that you're faced with is also in Christ. Now, the reality is I have to begin to renew my thinking and choose to identify with who Christ says I am so that I can have power to overcome the circumstances. So the next part, look at number two. This, I shouldn't say this because that requires a whole teaching, but all of Satan's temptations are designed to make you doubt your identity. All the warfare in your life is all about breaking your identity. So from this day after you leave here, the devil's going to come and tell you, you're not righteous. You're not holy. You're not favored by God. You're not blessed. Look at what's going on in your life. The devil will come and talk you away from your identity. Right? He has no power unless we give it to him. Right? If I choose to believe his lies, I empower the liar. So, from the very beginning, Adam and Eve, the question was, if you eat from this tree, you'll become like God. Identity. Jesus, in the wilderness, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Identity. Jesus was going to the cross. The guard says, if you are the Son of God, get yourself off the cross. Identity. Even on the cross, the devil was still trying to get Jesus to doubt who he was. So if you're in Christ, guess what he's going to try to do to you too? All right? Talk you out of who you are in Christ. See, spiritual warfare is psychological warfare. The enemy wants to tell you who you are instead of allowing God to be who you are. Come on. So you got to become ferocious. You got to become vicious about your beliefs. Your mind is not the devil's playground. Your mind is a breeding ground for the supernatural, for the kingdom of God. And you begin to become intentional about your thoughts because you know your mind is the gateway for the kingdom to come. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things become possible. So if I doubt, I put limits to what's possible for me. Come on. So the last thing is, God always speaks to your identity and not your behavior. So, it would be wrong. I don't want to say God doesn't care about your sin. He does, but he doesn't care as much about it as you think. Because the Bible says all you need to do is confess your sins to God. He's faithful and just to forgive you. But the reason why he forgives you is because now I want to tell you who you are and what you can live from. Okay? And it starts when you become more focused on who you are in God. Beginning to realize I'm alive to him. I'm alive to this new life. This is my new identity. This is my new nature. This is my new attitude. These are the new perspectives I'm going to choose to live by. Amen? And when you become intentional about the beliefs you're going to live from, then you become intentional about how you're going to overcome the devil. But until then, you become susceptible to every temptation the enemy sends your way because you don't know who you are. But today, church, the truth is setting you free. You know who you are in Jesus. You are in Christ. You've been crucified with Christ. It happened 2,000 years ago. There's nothing you got to do to get there. All you got to do is say, Lord, I agree. Lord, I submit. Lord, I surrender to your perspectives, and I let go of my beliefs.